Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talks Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
But we can talk about this team because a lot of people were down on the Houston Astros. But here we are. Now the Astros are up 3-2. They're one win away from going to the World Series. How do you feel? How do you like them apples, Boston? And so I know all the Boston fans were like, ooh, how do y'all like that Astros? Ooh. But now here we are. And guys, I want to thank you all for making the Locked On Astros podcast so successful. Thank you for making us your first listen every day, whether it's on YouTube. Keep on subscribing to us. Keep on giving us the likes. And whether it's on the audio version on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast all postseason. Hopefully it keeps on going because the Astros are dominating. And this was the first time that we had a starting pitcher this whole postseason dominate. And he stayed in 8 innings from Valdez. This is a guy who could not throw strikes in his first start. He came in and dominated. He took control, and it was a perfect game or at least a no-hitter for the first 4 innings until Brian McTaggart or somebody had to jinx it, and then the no-hitter is gone. But this was a dominant start, and there's a time during the game where I guess the Astros are scoring all those runs, and they showed a picture of Valdez in the dugout, and he was just taking it in.
He was just breathing, because I believe that's something that he probably learned when he, going back to his days, he said he met with a psychiatrist and he was just focusing. And I was just waiting for the time when Dusty would actually pull him. I was like, okay, don't pull him. Keep him in. He only gave up that one hit early on in the fifth inning that broke up the no-hitter. I didn't realize he had a no-hitter going at that time when the Astros only had a couple hits. But Yordan Alvarez was on fire today. He was a triple away from the cycle. And this offense just did what they needed to do. They backed Valdez up. The Boston Red Sox offense, somebody has kidnapped them and thrown them into a basement because they have disappeared completely. Like, I've never seen an offense turn on a dime at home and choke away their last possible game of their season at home the way the Red Sox did. Eric, I thought this was going to be a back and forth. I thought it was either going to be a low scoring affair by both teams or a shootout. And it was neither. It was pretty much a blowout. And the Astros took command early. They never looked back. The Red Sox did not look like the team that beat us in those two games, especially that 12-3 victory.
Yeah, for sure. And the Astros did something that a lot of teams have not done all postseason. They held the Red Sox scoreless for, I lost count of how many innings they were scoreless until I think it was Devers' home run. But it was like 12 innings at one point, and then I believe it went to 14 innings or something. But this is something that the Red Sox offense has been on fire. They went through the Yankees. They went through the Rays. And the Rays were this juggernaut of a team, and the Red Sox, something that nobody thought they would do. And they were trying to do the same thing for the Astros. And the Astros were like, wait, we're actually this good team and you can't do this to us. And they kind of stepped up and they took care of business. And so the Astros are one freaking win away from going back to the World Series. And they have 2 games at home to get that done. That's what home field is. And I've been explaining to this to a lot of people at work, a lot of people on the Twitter. They're like, wait, what's the point of home field if they play 3 games on the road? Well, that's the whole 2-3-2 thing. Right. You get the last 2 games at home. And those last 2 games are critical.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about the other game going on, but there's a certain team winning and a certain team losing. We know things could change there. But if we do end up playing the Braves, Eric, we have home field advantage. If we play the Dodgers, we don't. But remember, we didn't have home field advantage the last time we played the Dodgers in the World Series, and we won in LA. So the Astros, I believe, can do it at home or away. What an encouraging game for the Houston Astros team, not only for the relief pitchers, because This is something that I don't think a lot of people are going to talk about, Eric, is Framber Valdez going eight innings is a relief to the relief pitchers. They've been used a lot. They've been the most taxed out of any team this year. You would think they were trying to be the Tampa Bay Rays on steroids, right? You know how the Rays use all these pitchers? And this is not what typically the Astros do, but they've had this formula that has worked for them. Dusty Baker has managed a phenomenal ALCS, Eric, and this was great. This was a big pick-me-up because the relief pitchers came in, got it shut down last night, and then tonight they didn't have to be relied upon because Valdez was Mr. Reliable, and he looked like himself. And I know there was some banter from Boston media already talking about Valdez maybe had some stuff on his temple, blah, blah, blah. You can't get anything outside of either one of these two teams and have success without somebody mentioning some sort of cheating thing. But our friend Wynn was at the game, and I saw on his Instagram, you know what he did? He called security on the guys saying F. Altuve, and the security guys from Boston shut it down. They shut that chant down. It's pretty sad that the Boston fans resorted to Yankee fan type behavior.
Yeah, and so that's just kind of weird. But I think Altuve almost hit that grand slam. I know it went foul. I know Bregman earlier in the game was giving the Red Sox fans some little hard tack by some close little home runs there. But the Astros were doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing. And Chris Sale has been dominating left-handed hitters all year. And Yordan Alvarez, he showed who your daddy was. And so that's definitely Breaking Tea. If you want to go to breakingtea.com/talkingstros and get your daddy shirt, Alvarez showed Chris Sale who his daddy was. And I do not understand why Alex Cora, I said it right, Alex Cora left Chris Sale in to face Alvarez. That made no sense. At that time, he was already had two hard hit balls. He already had the home run, the double, and then he allowed another double to score another two runs. It made no sense. I mean, thank you, by the way, but it made no sense at the time. Why would you let somebody who's hit Chris Sale so well, the only guy who had a hit against Chris Sale at the time, face him again? That made no sense. Exactly. If you already had somebody, I know it's the whole lefty-lefty, right. I've got to be a good manager, I got to do what analytics said, but in that situation, you've got to go with your gut, and in that situation, that was a bad call by Cora. And Cora, like Larry GM says, Cora had a bad night. Yeah, I think he had a bad night. A lot of people said he had a bad night the day before. And that bad night may cost him this series because the Astros are going to go home. Luis Garcia has maybe revamped his delivery to maybe take some pressure off the knee. So maybe it won't cause that knee soreness. So we'll see what happens there. And then in game three, who's going to be starting game three? I'm so excited. I can't even think about
game three.
It's going to be Luis Garcia. I just said that, but who would be starting in game? I'm thinking this as a three game series. That's why I said game. Then we have Luis Garcia. So who would be starting game three of that three game series is what I was thinking in my head.
Oh, okay. Game three would probably be Urquidy. Because he started game three. So he would be so basically game six and then game seven. Like saying that game three is like throwing me off. But the Astros come out and get the job done. You remember in the ALDS where Yuli Gurriel was not hitting the ball at all? He's now hitting .474. He was 3-for-5 tonight. Yordan Alvarez was 3-for-5 tonight. Brantley was 2-for-5. I mean, Tucker got a hit. Siri got a hit. Altuve got a hit. Bregman was 0-for-3 with two walks. That's okay. And I don't know if you have it in the notes, but from what I hear from the pregame, it sounds like Jake Myers will not be coming back this series.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's a bad situation for the Astros, but the Astros are making it work. It's like kind of like having the wrong parts for your automobile, but you just got to make it work. So talk to us about rockauto.com.
So with ever increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible now for every local chain auto parts store to stock all your parts you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers that will access rockauto.com at your home and in your pocket, so why not use them? And when you use them, you can save 30, 50, sometimes 100% more for all the same parts that you get in your chain store or a car dealership. Rock Auto is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers like myself, Eric the Man Heisman, and you listening for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low and for every customer. That's right. They don't give price breaks to mechanics. They give that price break to everyone. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find all the parts your car will ever need and to find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On. And there, how did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
All right. So speaking of that, make sure that you make us your first listen every day, whether that's on YouTube. Go ahead and make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you give us a big thumbs up and keep on subscribing to us. And on the audio version, keep on listening to us, whether that's on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you listen to the Locked On Astros podcast.
Thoughts by Dusty.
So here is Dusty Baker on Framber Valdez going 8 innings. That puts us a especially good position with our bullpen, especially with a day off tomorrow. It makes It makes a feel great when he went the third time around. So basically, it made him feel great when he went the third time around because you know he had that little trigger finger. He's like, I want to go pull him, but he was like, no, I'm gonna let him do it, and that says a lot for the pitcher for Dusty Baker to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and let him stay in this game. And that shows and sends a message to not just Framber Valdez, but to the rest of the pitching staff. Like, hey, if you're doing your thing, I'm going to let you stay in. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. So this is what he said after the no-hitter advantage. So remember that visit he went to the mound after the no-hitter advantage? He said, hey, man, you're the best. Just be natural and do your thing. That's what that's.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and that makes sense. He was like, you are a ground ball pitcher. Throw your stuff. They will hit ground balls. You'll be fine. Trust your stuff. You are Framber Valdez. You have been one of our best pitchers all season. And who cares? You've had these last couple games that are stinkers. I know he's not saying all that. But I just knew that the law of averages was in his favor. Because right. of what kind of pitcher he has, because of the mental makeup that he has as a pitcher on the mound and his presence. And when his pitches are working early, I was like, the Red Sox are going to make more mistakes than we do early on. That one Chris Sale home run kind of cracked the egg a little bit, because at one point, Eric, in like 4 innings, he had 7 strikeouts. I mean, Chris Sale, you would think if you looked on paper, wow, he's completely dominating. But he was down 1-0. So the Red Sox never had the lead, obviously, in this game. And that bode well for the pitching staff. And like I said, Framber going deep not only was great for his confidence, but was great for the relief pitching. Because they know after they go grind it out, the next game, their starting pitcher is going to put them on his back and carry them to victory. Yordan and Framber, I think, the players of the game by far.
And one more quote. If a guy's dealing, you keep him dealing. That's what Dusty Baker said. And that's what, yeah. So that was awesome to let him do that. And actually, this is the first time that an Astros pitcher has thrown 8 innings since Zach Greinke did it against the, I want to say it was the Blue Jays in Buffalo earlier this year.
Wow.
So this was a pretty big deal. And this is the last time an Astros pitcher has done this in the playoffs was guess who?
It was the Red Sox.
Cole. Garrett Cole against the Rays in Game 5 of the 2019 ALDS.
Okay, I was there. The 15 strikeout game you're talking about?
Yes. And
yeah.
The last time this has actually happened in a playoff game was Mr. Clayton Kershaw. I'm trying to get to there. I don't have my mouse hooked up. But the last time that this happened was game two of the 2020 NL series versus the Brewers. And he pitched eight innings, Clayton Kershaw did.
Okay.
So this doesn't happen very often in playoffs, and definitely for Astros pitcher. Because before this, how many innings did the Astros starters pitch? I want to say
it was six and two-thirds innings.
No,
it was games. No, it was 11 innings total.
No, it was 11 innings. In the ALCS.
In the ALCS, the starting pitchers total pitched 11 innings, I thought.
No, in game one through four, it was 6 2/3 innings in the first four games. And games five, it was 8 innings. Now, in the entire playoffs, that may be a situation, but I thought that's what I got. I saw that tweet earlier. It was from somebody. So I think it was Chandler Rome or Jake Kaplan or somebody. But I could be wrong, but that sounds about right. So, I mean, it could be. But still, that's still an awesome amount to see what happened there. That Framer Valdez, he showed up. And the Astros needed him to show up. And now if Luis Garcia can go 5 innings, great. If we have to, if Jose Urquidy can go 5 innings as well, great. If we can save him for the World Series, even better. That's what the Astros need to be shooting for.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think they have a very good chance to lock it down Friday night in Minute Maid Park. I believe that coming home, the crowd at Minute Maid is going to be electric. You know what's interesting? Friday night, the Astros game 6 ALCS. Friday night, the Rockets home playoff or home regular season opener at the Toyota Center. Downtown's going to be lit. I'm actually not going to be at the Astros game. I'm going to be at the Rockets game. And so there's going to be a ton of people down there. It is going to be a night of celebration. Hopefully the Rockets get their first win of the season, and hopefully the Astros lock it down and clinch another World Series berth. I think it would be great for this team. I think you can say what you want. You can throw cheaters. You can throw all kinds of crap at this team all you want to. The bottom line is this year, it is our time, and you cannot doubt what this team's accomplished so far. We still have to finish it. It's not over yet. They still have to finish it. Even in a worst case scenario, Eric, you go to game 7. I do not see the Astros losing 2 games at Minute Maid Park to clinch.
All righty. So here's the situation. So if we play the Braves, it's going to be at home because the Astros have a better record. So game 1 would be Tuesday, October 6th. Well, that's assuming the Astros get to the World Series. I'm just throwing this out there. So game 1 would be Tuesday, October 6th. Game 2 would be Wednesday, October 27th. Game 3 would be November 2nd, and game 4 would be Wednesday, November 3rd. If we play the Dodgers, the Dodgers definitely have the better record, so it would be Friday, October 29th. Game 2 would be Saturday, October 30th, and game 3 would be Sunday, October 31st. So I know some of y'all got notifications that you qualified for tickets tomorrow. So keep that in mind when you are buying your tickets tomorrow. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that definitely is something that I was looking at when they're playing and who, like what dates and all that stuff. So the great thing is, Eric, this team woke up. I was really concerned. I think everybody was concerned. I think people in Boston thought they had this thing in the bag. I think people in Houston, although I said if there's any team that can come back from these two horrible losses, it's the Houston Astros. And they did that. Someone earlier in the comments said, we need to send the Boston Red Sox back to Boston in one of those laundry carts. Yes, I like that idea. I say remove all laundry carts from the Red Sox locker room to let them know that it's our time, baby. It's our time.
Yes. Definitely in the situation. I don't know how much I want to address this, but we can address it. The lights in the outfield. I don't know if I went speculated on this, but I know FS1 was even talking about Joe Buck and John Smoltz were talking about it. But and I know a lot of people have drawn attention to it, and I know the umpires were talking about it. And apparently Alex Cora was the one that brought it up. I don't know how much credence there is to that. I think that's maybe Boston people kind of saying, yeah, Alex Cora was the one that brought it up. I don't know, but it's a little fishy that that was out there during the Red Sox at bat. So is this Lightgate? I don't know. We'll see.
It's like, who cares? Everything's a gate. It's like down to that Jeff Passan tweet about the one strike, and had that one strike been different, this wouldn't have happened, blah, blah, blah. You can what if stuff to death. Man, get the crap out of here. We don't care about lights. We don't care about umpires missing calls. These umpires have been abysmal. They've been a tragedy. They've been an embarrassment to officiating in Major League Baseball. They have been terrible for both sides. You can't blame one pitch. If you have got to go back and look at one pitch or some blinking light, that's the reason you lose, then you know what? You're a loser. Period. End of story. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Curveball. Like, get the freak over the outside variables. Stop. All you can do is control what you control. You can't control the outside elements. And I am, we know the umpires suck behind the plate. I'm sorry. They are terrible behind the plate. They either have bad vision, or they've been in the game too long, or they haven't been in the game long enough, Eric, because those balls that they're calling off the plate, they're bad, but they were bad for both sides. I mean, there were Red Sox that got on base in that game where they blew us out. They shouldn't have been on base. There was an inning where they broke the game open in that 12-3 shellacking of the Astros that would have never happened had, I believe, Alex Verdugo been called out on strikes. I'm just saying, like, you can go back and you can nitpick everything. Which team is better? It's the Houston Astros, period. That's it. That's the story. Write the headlines. It's us. We're better.
You know what's going through my mind right now? What is betonline.ag saying about who's going to win the series? Because right now, I'm sure the Astros are the favorite. I know the Braves are the favorites to win the World Series right now, but this will be epic matchup. Remember the old rivalry between the Astros and Braves? Yes. Wouldn't it be amazing? I mean, I know everybody wants to see Astros versus Dodgers, but I would love to go see Astros versus Braves. That would be awesome.
The last time I saw the Astros and Braves playing a playoff game, it was the 18-inning game where they came back and Chris Burke hit that amazing home run. I was there at Minute Maid Park, and my daughter wasn't even two at the time. It was amazing. We're back and better than ever with the new web interface and the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And hey, I want to send a special shout out to someone watching. My mother is watching tonight. She this week has had some health complications. She had to go in the hospital. Nothing ended up being too serious, but she's back out. She's at home. She's resting. Love you, Mom. Thanks for supporting our show. I know, Eric, I don't know. I think she's starting to like Eric more than her own son. So I've got to win that battle. But hey, thanks, Mom. Love you. And thanks for the support. Go Astros. Our boys did it tonight, didn't they?
All right. Yeah. So I thank you, Mom. Yeah. So anyway, definitely the team came through in Boston. I know there was two game stretch where the Astros just looked like they're dead in water. And a lot of Astros fans were like, what's going on here? But this team has no quit. And yes, they were down last year, 0-3, and they came back to make a series of it. And I know everybody was frustrated that the Astros gave up those grand slams, but grand slams are something that it's hard to come back from. The Astros pitching kind of went back to who they are. So who is starting for game six? It's probably going to be Luis Garcia. I think he would have been used in this situation if Ramon Valdez was exited early in today's game. But in that situation, he actually pitched 8 innings. Way to go, Framber. And then in game seven, if needed, it's probably going to be Jose Urquidy. But I'm hoping that Luis Garcia is able to go pretty deep. And you have a rested bullpen. I mean, you only had to use Ryan Stanek in this game. And Ryan Pressly got – did I say name wrong? or no, I said. So anyway, it's been a long day.
It's okay. So, yeah. Well, you know, they had Presley warming up, but then I was like, why are you using Presley? I know they had a day off. Put someone else in there.
They wanted to just get him some time too. So
that's anyway, true.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see at the end of the game where Carlos Correa had his arm around Jeremy Pena and Jake Odorizzi? And he's just like I'm sitting there going, this guy can't be on another team. Like, he is a Houston Astro. Like, he brings everybody into the fold. I mean, I don't know that Carlos Correa did it consciously, but subconsciously he's like, come on, Jake, you're still one of the guys. Like, you know, Jeremy, you're on the taxi squad. You're one of the guys. Like, we're a team. This is a brotherhood. And I love this team. I love what this team does for each other. I love to see Astros fans going out. One of my buddies from high school was out there. Kevin was there for both games. I think Apollo Dez was out there. Din Man was there. I mean, Wynn was there. I mean, all these people that we know and that we've met several times at the game, just huge Astro super fans out there supporting our team. And that's great to see. Next year, I'm getting to a game on the road, and I would love to go to Boston. I think we should do a Locked On Astros from the Red Sox. We got to start planning something like that, bro. It would be so much fun.
Well, you don't know who we're playing in ALCS next year, dude. It's
no, I'm just talking about regular season. No, I'm just talking about regular season, not necessarily playoffs. Let's just get this show on the road, baby.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that the Astros, I think this is the real Astros. This is the team that we expected to see. I think that they took I don't know what happened. I think the grand slams, especially when you give up two grand slams, that kind of deflates them a little bit, deflate gate or something a little bit, I guess we should say. But this game, the Astros had the upper hand, I would say, not from the start, but Chris Sale pitched great. He was throwing a no-hitter except for Yordan Alvarez's home run. And he looked great. He was throwing 98 miles per hour. This was the hardest he's thrown since his Tommy John surgery. So he was dominating. And then you had Framber Valdez dominating. This was a pitcher's duel. But then Chris Sale got knocked out. And then the bullpen came in. And then the Astros scored runs. And so the Red Sox have seen that the Astros can score too. So it's not just, yes, they are good at scoring runs, but so are the Astros. And I think that one of the Astros players said it after the game 4 win. They said the momentum has shifted back to the Astros. And I think we saw that in this game.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I love baseball because these are the type of wins that don't really hinge on one player, and one player can alter a ball game. You can get a walk-off hit or, you know, whatever. One pitcher can dominate, but it takes everybody involved, because not only does a pitcher have to pitch, but the offense has to show up. And like, we were a little worried the game before, like, okay, the Red Sox only have two runs. You've got to capitalize here. And It's just great to see, Eric. I think that's a great description. This is the team that the Astros are. They're not front runners, and they're not come from behinders. They're both. They love to be in front, and they love to come from behind. They love to be the apex predator. They love to have their backs against the wall. This team's character is so versatile, and there's not many teams that have the amount of character that our team has. And yes, I'm using the word character in the same phrase as I'm talking about the Houston Astros, because despite what you may think, haters and fans of other teams, this team has a clubhouse culture that is second to none. And I want to just thank those in the clubhouse that set the tone. Thank you for doing that. Martin Maldonado, thank you for doing that. Carlos Correa, thank you for doing that. It's great to see it.
Yeah. So a lot of people are asking who's starting for the Red Sox. It's going to be Nathan Eovaldi. And a lot of people are like, well, why did Cora do that? Why did he put him in game 4? Well, a lot of starters throw in between starts. And that's what Eovaldi did. He was throwing in between starts. And I said this in the podcast the other day. They're like, hey, do you want to throw an inning? And because he is one of their best pitchers. And so they're like, hey, do you want to throw a bullpen in the game? He's like, sure. So that's what happened there. So was it the smartest decision? No. I think it was Alex Cora just kind of going, look, he dominated the Astros. So we want to get this. We want to make sure we get this. We want to hold the Astros there. I forgot. I think they're tied at that time. So we want to make sure we limit the Astros here. And it backfired. Cora was played a hunch and it didn't work. So Cora played a couple of hunches in this game. It didn't work. So, I mean, I'm sure you can say that that Baker's played some hunches. It didn't work in the same time. But that does that mean that Evaldi's going to be rusty or affected in this in game six? No. He could be just as dominant in that game. So what y'all need to do, I know we're going to do a podcast tomorrow, and we do have a special guest. You can tell them who the special guest is in second. But y'all got to come out, Houston. I know tickets were, from what I've heard, they were pretty close to being a sellout for game six and game seven, because y'all want to be there. Y'all want to be there for the clinching, the possible clincher. So go there. Y'all need to be loud. Y'all need to be waving those towels from the whole first inning. Don't be sitting on your butts eating your food. Get out there and support your team. And you remember how the White Sox, that kind of the adrenaline, that first inning with Dylan Cease, and Dylan Cease was throwing like 100 miles per hour, and even Rodon, he was throwing 100 miles per hour, and the adrenaline. Do that for Luis Garcia. Make him go out there and have confidence in him. So go out there, support your Astros, get up on your butt for at least the first couple innings, and then play by ear from there.
No, yeah, and that's the thing. And I mentioned this on the Locked On Now show with, you know, Peter Bukowski, how we pretty much have owned Chris Sale in the playoffs. And let me tell you, Nate Evaldi has a ton of pressure on him. Why? Because it's a do-or-die game for them. They have to win. It's win or go home. He is in front of his home crowd. He's going to be in front of friends and fans. He's going to have a lot of pressure. The Astros don't have any pressure because the Astros are in the driver's seat. And this crowd, I believe, like was mentioned earlier, I didn't see who put it up there. Evaldi is going to pitch with that urgency, but I don't think he's going to be able to overcome this crowd, Eric. I've been in this stadium when we've had epic games, both DS and LCS games, and there's nothing like the Minute Maid Park atmosphere. There's nothing like that stadium closed and this team firing on all cylinders. And we've got the Crawford boxes. We've got the right field. I mean, we've got this lineup. Do you think that Castro continues to be a pinch hitter? Do you think he is better served in that role? And with Martin Maldonado, I think personally, once he goes to bat two or three times, I think you put Castro in almost automatically if it's a close game so that you can get those RBIs and those hits. What say you, Eric, about the catching situation?
I think we know what Dusty Baker thinks. I don't think he's shown his cards. He's not going to change his cards. He's not going to change what he's doing. Jason Castro knows this. Martin Maldonado knows it. Martin Maldonado got on base today, and the local media was like, "Hey, breaking news! Martin Maldonado got on base." And so, it's a kind of running joke around here. But at the same time, how many runs does he save with his defense? Now, at the same time, if you get behind and you've got to outslug the team, that's when you go ahead. Okay, defense, whatever. I mean, yes, he's not, somebody said in the last podcast, he's not Hank Conger. Jason Castro is not Hank Conger, but Martin Maldonado does play some great defense. So Jason Castro, he has this knack of getting that big hit in that big situation. So I think that you're going to see Martin Maldonado starting, and then you'll see Jason Castro coming in late, especially in the situation. But Martin Maldonado didn't, I don't think Castro played today, did he?
No, he did not. Martin played the whole game. Yeah. I like what Joe says here about Jose Altuve, because I was looking at his average from the box score, Eric, and in his average, he's only hitting, in this series, he's hitting .83. Okay, Jose Altuve. That's insane. But every one of his home runs, well, not everyone, half of his home runs postseason have either tied or put Houston in the lead. And that is huge. These hitters are hitting when it counts. Even if your big guns aren't getting it done, someone in the lineup is. And that's why I think this line dominates the Red Sox line every time. Every seven-game series, I'm picking the Astros. Even if it goes seven, I'm picking the Astros. They've got the strength. The ball's in our court. It's in our house. Sorry, Beantown. We're done with you. We're throwing out, we threw out the White Sox, we're throwing out the Red Sox. We're just waiting to get ready for our next victim.
Exactly. H-Town TV has the idea. Wait till you eat your hot dog after the first inning. That's exactly what I was saying. So something that we kind of touched on earlier that I didn't want to drop is the fact that Jake Myers is likely not going to play in the rest of the series, that he actually suffered a setback. And I even said this before the series, this was a risky move. I know that they said that he was heading towards a positive recovery, but unfortunately the situation, he suffered a setback, and because this is not a new injury, they can't replace him on the roster. So that means that he's going to be on the Astros ALCS roster and you can't replace him. Now, if you have him come in as a pinch hitter or pinch runner and say he got injured or something and lie like that, that's a situation that happened. But MLB is very, they investigate this stuff. So I don't think that they would fall for that. So Jose Siri has, he got his first hit today in the big RBIs. I mean, I think first RBIs in the playoffs. I think he already got a hit, if I remember correctly. Yes. So first RBIs, and he played some great defense. So this is a great experience for this kid, because this, he may play a big role in the World Series, especially if Jake Myers is not able to go. If he suffered a setback where they're talking about replacing him on the roster, that means they were willing to go without him in the World Series. So that means that we can count out Jake Myers for the World Series. So we got Chaz McCormick, Jose Siri, and maybe somebody else. So somebody mentioned earlier, would you give Marwin Gonzalez a chance?
Would I give Marwin Gonzalez a chance? No, okay. I'm sorry. He got cut by two major league teams. I'm sorry. He got cut by two major league teams. I have to say it again. He's barely batting 200. No, put Alebnis Diaz in there. He's way more than capable. He hasn't gotten any playing time. This guy gets like one at bat and strikes out. Of course he's going to strike out. He doesn't have any playing time. I'm sorry, Marwin. I love you. I think you're an Astros legend. I think you've cemented your... Yeah, but I know it's Marwin. But guys, this isn't like, oh, you're our buddy, so we want you to play with us. This isn't Little League. This is the pros. And you put the best team out there, that's going to help you win. And so basically, McCormick, I think, goes out there and starts game six. Someone's asking about Lance McCullers. I'll address that here in a second. But yeah, Marwin did hit that home run. Matthew, thank you for remembering 4 years ago. This is 2021. He got cut by two major league teams. Need I say that again? I love Marwin. I think he's a great guy. I met him in person, one of the nicest individuals. I love that he's an Astro. I hope he retires an Astro. But at the end of the day, you don't give him a spot. You don't give him a spot over these other guys. And you don't have time for these guys to be clutch. What if your lineup is dropping off? Do you think Marwin's going to come in and like pick things up? He sure didn't do that the last, you know, couple series when he was, you know, hitting against Oakland. I love Marwin. Think he's a great guy, but this isn't a time for feel good stuff. It's not I-9 sports. It's not fun, fair, positive soccer where everybody gets a trophy, and we do have winners and losers. And apparently, sorry, this is where Marwin just is in the, he's a cheerleader right now. That's it. That's his role.
Alrighty, to kind of wrap up the show, Chris Sale said, I was good for five innings, and then I sucked for one. Congratulations.
Let's address this. Lance McCullers Jr., nothing official has come out, but I don't see any circumstance where Lance McCullers pitches. If he couldn't throw a baseball 4 or 5 days ago, there's no way you risk hurting him and injuring him more in a World Series. Why would you affect him long term and possibly ruin his career even if he can go and he's 80%? I really doubt that you see Lance McCullers on the World Series roster. As much as I would love him to be on the roster, I don't see how it happens unless he has a miraculous recovery. And if he does, praise the Lord, all thanks to him. But I don't see Lance McCullers being, I wouldn't count him being on this World Series roster. I think to the detriment of his career, yeah, but no. You put $85 million in this kid, you're going to protect his arm.
Alrighty, so Debbie Downer here has...
No, I'm not Debbie Downer. No, I'm not Debbie Downer. I'm being real. I mean, the Astros fans want us to be real, right? I'm not a homer. I'm a realist. And if you can't throw a baseball on October 17th, I think you're going to be able to throw a baseball and pitch in a Major League Baseball World Series on the 20th. Okay. I'm just saying, because I hear people all the time going, oh, but he can maybe, no. If you like Lance McCullers and you love him and you care about Lance, you'll make sure you're doing the best thing for Lance, not being selfish, putting him on the mound.
All right, guys, I think that's all we got for this podcast. We're going to do another one, and I believe we have a special guest tomorrow. You want to do it real quick?
It's going to be Roflo from MLB Network. He's going to drop in for about 10, 15 minutes, hang out with us, and talk to us some Astros baseball.
All right, so Robert Flores is going to be joining us, and last time he joined, it was super fun, so make sure you join. We'll go ahead and go live for that one, and guys, make sure you keep on subscribing to us on YouTube and keep on liking us, and keep on listening to audio version, whether it's on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast, and make sure you check out Sully over at the Locked On MLB podcast, and we'll be back tomorrow with another look at preview of Game 6 of the ALCS. One win away, baby. One win away.